You're listening to media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. We are a multi-generational, Jesus-centered community of scripture, faith, and grace located in Tallahassee, Florida, on the campus of Florida State University. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. We hope that the next few moments are a time when God speaks into your life by the power of His Holy Spirit about His Son, Jesus Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Three in One, who has come to us in order to bring us wisdom. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, so I was in my first year of undergrad, and I was dating a girl who was not at the school that I was at. And she was at a school that was actually in a different state. I was in Nebraska. She was in Missouri. And so we decided that we were going to meet up together in Kansas City, Missouri, along with some other friends. And at the time, I knew that my parents maybe didn't quite like her so much. And so I didn't tell my parents that I was going to Kansas City, Missouri, in order to meet this girlfriend of mine. And that would have been fine, you know. This was before your iPhone could track your every movement and everything. I would have completely flown under the radar, except for the fact that we went to this place called the Plaza in Kansas City, which is kind of this touristy trap place. And there, while we're there, who do I find except a couple from my home church? And I go, "Oh, hi." And I couldn't tell them, "Hey, look, you know, just keep this between us because that'll be awkward." Instead, I just said hi and was gracious and was hoping that they wouldn't say a word to my parents. And that didn't happen. And I had to have this conversation. And that conversation was a little bit awkward because I had been caught. Well, as we look into this story from Solomon, a story from 1 Kings, we have a little bit of that moment that's happening with Solomon here. Now, the lectionary committee or whoever puts together the readings that we read, they sort of sanitized this out a little bit, and we didn't get quite the entire reading. So our reading picks up: "The king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was a great high place." And you're like, "Oh, okay. He went to Gideon. He went to sacrifice. It was a great high place. Awesome." And then Solomon offered thousands of burnt offerings on that altar. And everything sounds like it's pretty nifty, except for the fact, if you are an Old Testament scholar of any stripe, you know that when they say high place, there's a little bit of a yellow flag that goes up. And that yellow flag goes up, and you go, "Wait a second. God's people don't usually sacrifice at high places. The people that sacrifice at high places are sacrificing usually to otros gods, the other gods that are out there. And so what the heck is Solomon doing here?" Well, here we get, in just a verse before, a little bit of a backstory on Solomon. Verse 3, "Now Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David, except he sacrificed and burned incense on high places." So, basically what this tells us is that Solomon was a naughty boy. Solomon here was this prince of a very popular father, King David. And as we know, happens in a lot of times, that dynamic where you have a very strong leader, a very popular leader, and you have a prince that comes up underneath that popular leader and is shielded from a lot of the responsibilities of leadership, you get, well, kind of a brat. And that's what the scriptures seem to paint Solomon as. He's this kid who doesn't feel like the rules apply to him. He can worship God. He can love God, but he can also kind of do the cafeteria plan, and he can also worship these other gods, these gods that have no business being in Israel. In fact, you have other things in this chapter that show you that there's something about Solomon where he has kind of this divided heart, where he's in this place where he says, well, I love God, I love Yahweh, and then in his actions, well, there's some stuff that, well, it doesn't quite make sense. He's acting out of the way that he should. And here, he has this kind of momentous experience where, in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream at night. And you go, gulp. So here's Solomon. He's at this altar where he's sacrificing stuff to these other gods, and he goes to sleep after sacrificing stuff to these other gods, and after he goes to sleep, he has this dream where, surprise, Yahweh is there, and he says, hey, Solomon, wake up. And you can imagine kind of how Solomon feels in that moment, because he feels like he's been caught. Now, I know that you are all really good people, and you don't know what it's like being caught having done something bad. Or maybe you do. In fact, maybe all of us know what that experience is like, to have been caught in that moment. And maybe you're in that moment where you feel like you've hid it away from everybody else even. But there's this time where you suddenly go, oh yeah, God sees everything. God sees not only just the stuff that I'm doing in public, but oh, God knows. God knows that stuff that I do. And so you wake up to this moment where you recognize that you've been lusting. Or you wake up in this moment and you recognize that you've been greedy. Or you wake up in this moment and you recognize that you've been harboring hatred. Or you wake up in this moment and there's some other sin that's there, and you have been convicted by this part of the Trinity that's called the Holy Spirit. Because that's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit, a part of his job is just to show up in your life and sort of like Solomon to say, boo! We know what you're doing. We see it. And so given that backstory, you would expect the way that this goes, right? The way that this goes is that, and the Lord looked down upon Solomon, and his eyes glowed red, and lasers shot out of them, and Solomon was no more. But that's not how it goes. Instead, how it goes is that, well, in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream at night, and God said, ask what you wish me to give to you. Oh, wow. Well, that's different. So God surprises Solomon. He says, hey, you're doing something that you probably shouldn't be doing. And instead of saying you are now no longer king of Israel or saying anything like that, he just says, hey, what do you need? And there's a kind of little bit of us that goes, oh, that's wrong. How dare God? He caught him red-handed. He needs to punish him. And we think that all the way up until we realize that we are so often in Solomon's shoes ourselves. Where we go, oh yeah, God caught me. And then when God catches us, he does this weird thing. He says, hey, what do you need? And God does that because, well, what Solomon is doing is he's chasing after idols. And, well, idols, they're really just sort of promises. They're maybe bad promises, but they're promises. Idols promise people things. They don't fall through on they don't follow through with them, but they have this promise. So if you're worshiping Baal, the bull god, you he's promising you that if you're a good Baal worshiper, that you're going to get some rain and your crops are going to grow. And if you're worshiping Asherah, the god of fertility, you get this promise that you're going to be able to woo the other sex really well. And if you worship Moloch, you are being given this promise that you are going to be given power. Because that's how idols work. And that's how idols work today. We don't give them funny names like Baal and Asherah and Moloch anymore. But there are idols that we catch ourselves, that the Holy Spirit catches us worshiping, because they're promising us stuff. And amazingly, God comes to us just like he comes to Solomon. And he says, what do you need? What are you chasing after? What are you trying to get? Because you're going down the wrong path here. Because when we follow those idols, we are going down those bad paths, those paths that we know what we want, we're chasing after it because we're chasing after this idol, but this idol isn't going to be able to give us what we want. And so instead, God says, come to me. Ask me for those things that you want. And so God comes, and all of a sudden Solomon's like, really the big thing that's on my mind is I've got to be king. And, he knows what kind of a job that is. He's seen that ever since he's been growing up. He knows that it's difficult. And he knows that he's not the wisest man in the world yet. You see, that's the thing that we know about Solomon, right? We know he's the wisest guy on earth. Except he's not yet here. And that shows that he's worshiping these foolish gods. But here he asks for what he needs. He says, God, what I really need is I need wisdom. Give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people and discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? Solomon knows that he's got this crazy task in front of him, and he knows that he needs God's help to do it. And now he's finally ready to go to the person who can offer him what he needs. And God says, because you've asked for this and not for other stuff that actually kind of fit with the rest of the gods that Solomon could be worshiping, by the way, because you've been asking of this and not of other stuff, I'm actually going to give you all of that stuff as well. I'm going to give you wisdom. I'm going to give you riches. I'm going to give you the things that your heart could desire. And so what does your heart desire? What if God just came to you, kind of like he shows up as the genie a la Robin Williams in Aladdin, and he comes to you and he says, hey, what would you like? What would your answer be? I think all of us have that thing, whatever it might be, that thing that we would ask God for in that moment. And maybe it's a stupid thing. Maybe we would ask for the wrong thing. Solomon asked for the right thing. But God tells us to come to him. And he tells us to come to him and to ask for the same thing that Solomon asked for. Ask him for wisdom. Ask him for the ability to discern right from wrong. Ask him for the ability to know how the world works because he created it. He redeemed it. He's sanctifying it. Ask him for that first. Because then your next steps are clear. And so we've all been caught. We've all been caught in this same position. We've all been in this moment where we understand, oh, I know what it's like to be Solomon. I know what it's like to sin. I know what it's like to have this time where God has entered into my life and I see what's wrong with me. And as you think about what that is, remember that God is asking you, what do you need? Where is that desire coming from? And as you think about that, as you think about that desire, just ask God for wisdom. Ask God for the wisdom that he can give you to be able to discern the right from the wrong in the midst of that desire, to be able to understand how that desire works in the bigger picture. And time after time, the thing that you are going to receive is going to not only be that, but it's going to be so much more than that, because it's going to be Christ coming to you and saying, and I'm going to give you more. I'm going to give you everything that you could ever want. I'm going to give you the forgiveness of your sins so that you can be with me for eternity and there be in a place where you will not have any more want. And so as you go out into this crazy world that we live into, catch yourself. Let the Holy Spirit catch you in those moments where you're at Gibeon and you're worshiping at a high place. But then remember that you have a God of grace who asks you what you need and will provide it along with his forgiveness. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. If you would like to financially support more media from University Lutheran, please visit our website and click the Give Now button, which will enable you to engage in the Christian discipline of giving tithes and offerings to God through his church. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up his face upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.